Is it on? 2 Peter, chapter 2. Greetings from Toluca. I guess Debbie and I'll be headed back out, back to Toluca tomorrow. We won't see y'all again until the fishing conference. I really do appreciate this church, how faithful you've been over the years toward us. Also, so many of you have so many ministries, and you're a good example, and you're just a good blessing to all the churches in Mexico, to my heart, and you know, the pastors here and the brothers that go out and street preach, and the ladies that just show up and sing good songs. You know, they've done what they can, the Bible says. You do what you can, and you know, the job gets done if you do what you can. It's just a blessing, and I'm privileged to be a part of this church, and so long, known so many of you so long, it's a good blessing, good fellowship. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge You. You are our ambition. You are our purpose. You are our Lord. We know that without You there is nothing. There's nothing on this earth to live for without You. You are everything to us, Lord, and we acknowledge You this morning. We ask You to bless Your Word. You'd touch it to somebody's heart. Somebody's not saved, You'd save their souls. Somebody's not right with You, You'd get them right with You, Lord. Make a difference in our lives, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciated that message this morning, Brian. You ended up on a note that I want to talk about a little bit right now. It says, these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, they speak evil of things they understand not. You know, the Bible here says that there are people who are like natural brute beasts. Natural brute beasts. Of course, it's talking about people who speak evil of things they understand not. You know, there's an awful lot of disrespect in our generation. Just plain disrespect about everything. Well, so many young people are growing up. I was that way when I was a kid, and young people are that way exactly today. They disrespect everything. Everything that is deserving of respect, they disrespect. It's almost as if it's exactly opposite. They respect those that have no reason to be respected, and they disrespect those who have every reason to be respected. You know, somebody with gray hair ought to be respected. Amen. I'm not pointing at anybody in particular, but all of you folks with gray hair deserve to be respected. Not because you did everything right, but because you quit doing them after you got those gray hairs. You quit making the same mistakes, you know. You're a little wiser than somebody else. You know, old people make fewer mistakes. They got a little wisdom behind them. Why then don't the young ones respect the ones with the gray hair? Because they're like brute beasts. You know, that's the way brute beasts are. I don't know if you ever seen these documentaries of these brute beasts, you know, on television. They'll show how these animals live. And the younger animals, they don't respect the older ones. As soon as they can, they'll fight them until they're done. You know, they want to get ahead. Brute beasts. It's amazing to me how much disrespect there is in the world. Just disrespect. And you know, the fact that they have so many, I don't know whether it's because of democracy or whether it's just because of our generation or our wealth, or I don't know what the reason is, but it's just a horrible horrible testimony to this generation that young people don't respect their parents, they don't respect their grandparents, they don't respect their teachers, they don't respect the policemen, they don't respect the legislators, the laws, they don't respect the Bible, they don't respect God, they don't respect anything that deserves to be respected. But if somebody gets out there with a leather jacket or tattoos or a weird haircut, they'll respect them. Isn't that just like brute beasts? That's just nonsense. Brute beasts speak evil of the things that they understand not. What's the difference between brute beasts and people? Men and women. What's the difference between brute beasts, animals, and us? Is there a difference? Oh, you bet there is. I talked to a young man, real smart young fellow. Sometimes people are too smart for their own good. They think they can't be taught. But this fellow was real smart, sitting underneath a nice tree there in Morelia. And he told me he didn't read the Bible because it didn't catch his attention. You know, he just couldn't finish it. Started reading it, didn't like it. Started reading other stuff. And he went on down the line, and I just asked him a simple question. I said, this tree here, what's its use? What does it serve? What purpose does it serve in nature? And as a smart young man, he just rattled off five or six things. Well, you know, he says it houses animals, it provides lumber, it provides paper, it provides rosin, it provides shade. We're sitting here under the shade. And I said, you know, you're right about all that stuff. And I mentioned a few more things. We got together and figured out. And then I just asked him, I said, young man, what purpose do you serve in nature? Smart young man, but he's thinking, looking back and forth, thinking. You know, he didn't come up with an answer. After a while, he finally says, well, I guess just to procreate. I said, you mean the only purpose you serve in nature is to bring forth more useless creatures like yourself? He recognized just how silly that sounded. But you know, that's the truth. There's almost nobody in the whole wide world that doesn't recognize that people aren't part of nature. You see a road, you don't see, look at that beautiful act of nature. No, people built that. That's not nature. You see houses, you see cities, they say, oh no, that's man-made. We don't want that. We want to go out to nature. We want to get out and get to the natural world. We want to see rippling brooks and birds and dams made by beavers. But we don't want to see dams made by Hoover or dams made by some, you know, Canyon Lake Dam or something. We don't want to see what men have made because that's not part of nature. We want to get back to nature. Why? Because they know men are not part of nature. Humans are not part of nature. We're not brute beasts. We were made after all the brute beasts. We were made after them. It's obvious, since we're not part of nature, that nature was made for us. We were made to rule over nature. And we have. We've ruled over nature. Except once in a while somebody gets eaten by a lion, but other than that, we rule over nature now, don't we? We're on top of the world. We are not brute beasts. Now here it says, these as, he didn't say these are. It says, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, but I do not believe that anybody, any person was ever born on this earth that was made to be taken and destroyed. I don't believe God made one single human being and predestined him to hell. I don't believe God decided, you know, these people are mine and these people aren't. And these people here I'm going to make so that they'll be a good example. We'll show just how much I can torture them and prove just how bad I can be to make these people more appreciative. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what it's saying here. He says brute beasts are made to be taken and destroyed, and some people act like brute beasts. That's what it's saying. Some people are like brute beasts. They weren't made to be taken and destroyed, but brute beasts were. So if somebody gives you grief over killing a cow and eating it, tell them right there, it was made to be killed. Made to be taken and destroyed and eaten. What did God tell Peter? Rise and eat. Kill and eat. Just trying to obey the Lord. He said, rise, kill, and eat. Okay. Listen, we are not brute beasts. Brute beasts were made to be taken and destroyed. We as humans are made in God's image. We are made like God. We're not God, we're made like Him. The Bible says we are the offspring of God. We are His highest part of this natural creation. We have bodies similar to brute beasts, but we're above the brute beast in so many differences. It's an amazing thing that some people cannot see the difference between beasts and humans. And yet there are so many amazing differences between us. If it's just the opposable thumb, they say, well, raccoons have something similar. Well, they don't really, but, monkeys have something similar. Well, they don't really either. They got them on their toes, but it's not exactly the same. Let me tell you something. Humans walk upright. No other animal does. The Bible says God made man upright, and they've sought out many inventions. For some reason, God made us look different. Did you know that humans have eyes that other people can tell what they're looking at? I can tell y'all are looking at me. I can look around and you'll know whether I'm looking at you or not. Well, what other animal has that? You ever looked at animals? You can't tell what they're looking at. Why? What possible service could that be? Does that help you survive in the jungle? Does that help you survive in the wilderness? Did that help you back in your caveman days? No, that's a social gift that God gave you so that other people know if you're looking at them. Absolutely no survival in that at all. It's just a matter of social interaction. It's an amazing thing that people don't realize the difference. Did you know that humans are the only animal that laughs, that smiles, that cries, that frowns? The only animal that speaks. We're different people. We're not animals. We are not made to be taken and destroyed. We were made to walk in God's shadow. We were made to have fellowship with God. Look at the capabilities that we have. We know right from wrong. It's an amazing thing that little children know immediately whether something's wrong. They'll say, that's not fair. That's almost their first words. That's not fair. I mean, we're talking about a 2-year-old. That's not fair. Fair. How do they know what's fair? How do they know what's right and what's wrong? They know it from the time they're a little bitty. We didn't have to teach them. They know immediately. That's not right. They're judges from the time they're 1 year old. That's mine. That should be mine. That's not fair. This not right. They know when they're being done wrong. Why? Because they have that ability. God gave it to them. Animals don't know that. They just know who's bigger and stronger. They know when they get beat up. But they don't know whether something's right or wrong. They don't know how to argue something out and say, wait a minute, let's reason this out. But from the time a child is small, they know right from wrong. They can discern good from evil. They make decisions right from wrong. Like what Brian was saying, they make decisions to say no sometimes. It goes against their instinct. Why? Because they think ahead and they say, that's not smart. That's not what I should do. That's going to hurt later on. God made people smart. And you know something? God doesn't consider you stupid. Some of us might consider you stupid, but God doesn't. I'm sorry. God considers you bright. He says you can tell the weather, but you can't tell the signs of the times. You can tell whether it's going to rain today, but you can't tell whether I'm the Christ. God does not consider you stupid. He considers you smart enough to know right from wrong and to make the right decisions. He expects it out of you because you're not an animal. You're not a brute beast. So why do people act like brute beasts? Why are people like brute beasts? Let me tell you one thing. People are like brute beasts in their own opinion. They've come up with this opinion that they're just beasts, just animals.
They didn't always think that way. It started with a fellow named Charles Darwin, and he came out with this. Well, actually, it started before that. But he was the one that got the big push, and it became very, very popular. The theory of evolution as an origin of species, as an origin of life, as an origin of, you know, all these animals that exist. You know, basically, none of it makes sense when you stop and think that we're an accident, you know, that the world just came out of a big bang, you know, something exploded way back when, and we're not sure what it was, but it exploded and it came out this so many billions of years, and now all of a sudden, here we are. But that's just about as stupid, and yet still thinking that something just accidentally happened. How in the world can anybody think that we just accidentally, over millions and millions and millions of years, accidentally turned into humans? We accidentally just became who we are. Here we are. I mean, there's no in-betweens, but here we are. It must have happened that way. This was a theory that came up from desperation to get away from the Bible's stand of creation, from the Bible's history of creation. Cannot stand the thought that we have to resort to God. That we have to resort to thinking God did it. Why? Because that would mean if God did it, we owe God. We owe God. If God gave me this life, if God created me this way, then I have a tremendous debt to God. I owe God my life. I owe God every moment of my day. I am not my own person. I depend upon God. I am who God made me. People didn't like to think that way. So they come up with something that, you know, they were trying for years and years to come up with something, and finally they came up with an idea. The theory of evolution as an origin of species. The fact is, Charles Darwin in his book wrote down several things that would disprove his theory, and every one has happened. He wrote in his book what would disprove his theory, and they've happened. He wrote that, well, you know, as time goes on, we'll find more and more fossils, and that'll prove out these missing links. As time went on, we did not find any of the missing links, any of the fossils in between, not even one. We found 20 more phyla that we need more missing links for. 20 more animals like nothing else that ever existed that we knew about. There used to be 28, now there's 48. It got twice as difficult for it to have happened. You know, the only evidence for such a thing as evolution is several little things like homology, that's similarities. You know, if two boys look alike, you think, well, they might be brothers, right? Well, they're related because they kind of look alike. Well, the same way, if you see two animals that kind of look alike, you say, well, they must be related. They descended from parents. That's homology. You see similarities, you say, well, okay, they're similar. That means they're related. So since all animals have some similarities, well, most animals have some similarities with some other animal, well, then it's just, that's the evidence. We must have descended from the same parents. But the problem is, there's a whole lot of dissimilarities. Things that have absolutely no relationship whatsoever. They also have this line of evidence called embryology, that when you're an embryo, from the time you're a one cell, you start growing, and then you start to look like a fish or a tadpole. And then a little while later, you look like you got like gills. And then a little while later, you look like a monkey. I don't know. But as you get growing and growing, finally you look like a human. There it is. That proves evolution right there. Embryology. That's the evidence. The evidence that you're an animal. You're not an animal. Vestigial organs. Big evidence. We got earlobes. No use. No function. We got earlobes. So that must mean we descended from some animal that needed them. But there's no other animal with earlobes. None. Monkeys don't have earlobes. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody came up with this concocted idea that we are animals for some other reason. Not because the evidence demanded it. The evidence points away from it every time. There is no evidence that we descended from any other animal. We were created by God. He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. I don't have a picture of the day He did it. I don't know. I can't prove to you that. But let me tell you something. If you're looking for evidence, the evidence will point you to that every time. We were created by God in His image. But you know, people prefer to think of themselves as animals. They prefer it. They preferred it in those days. Now, a lot of people objected. Oh, wait a minute. If you're through saying that, then we're just nothing but glorified monkeys. We descended from the trees and lost our tail and lost our hair and had to get clothes. This is the idea. Why? They want to think of themselves as animals. They want to think of themselves as beasts. Why? No more responsibility. No more obligation to God. No more deciding right from wrong. It's an excuse to sin. It's an excuse to live like monkeys in the jungle. It's just an excuse. They want to be animals. And they're animals in their own opinions. The demands of responsibility or the guilt of failure. Get rid of the guilt. Get rid of the demands of the responsibility. Freedom to degenerate, to be like animals, because it must feel good. You know, there's something so perverse and corrupt with people thinking of themselves as animals. Well, let me tell you, one day people are going to be surprised. They shouldn't be, because it's just as clear as the nose on your face. You're not an animal. You're just not one. You're made in God's image. You know right from wrong. You're so different than all the animals that you ought to know better. You cannot avoid responsibility to God just by some silly scientific theory that has absolutely no evidence to back it up. And I'm not saying you should disregard what all the scientists say. Scientists are extremely intelligent people who have gone through much training. They usually know what they're talking about. But you got to watch out when it's people trying to defend their sin. Sin has a way of twisting people's minds. And some way, they've gotten fooled on this one. I don't even believe they've been deceived. I believe it's entirely their preference. I do believe it's entirely their preference. They prefer to be animals. You know something? Men and women are beasts in their behavior. You know, the Bible gives a lot of descriptions of animals. Beasts. How they act. What they're like. What they do. In Psalms 32, it talks about the horse and the mule. Horse and the mule, they need a bit and a bridle to be controlled. But you know that humans are like that? Humans have to have legal restraints. You have to make it illegal to do something harmful to yourself. Otherwise, people will do it. You have to make drugs illegal, because people will shoot themselves up with stuff that'll kill them. They really will. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing thing that in order to get somebody to do the right thing, it has to be laws. God had to make laws to get people to live right. Men and women don't just live right because it's the right thing to do. You know how many times, we are such hypocrites in so many ways, and I'm not talking about just other people, I'm talking about us right in here. We know something is wrong to do it, and yet we do it anyway because we can get away with it. It's amazing how many things we do just because we can get away with it. Just because there's no law. And it's wrong. Why do people have to make laws to make us do the right thing? Just to make us do the right thing. Not to go fast through a school zone. But if they didn't have laws to keep people from going fast through school zones and tickets and stiff fines, well, they'd do it. You know, we've got fish in our waters because we have laws and stiff fines, because if people pull out too many fish, well, then we don't have any fish in our waters. So they make stiff fines so that there'll be enough fish so everybody can fish. And you know, most of us, we can fish, catch some fish, and it's good because there's fish in the water. But there wouldn't be if there were no laws. There's no laws in Mexico and there's no fish in the water. There's no deer out in the wilderness in Mexico. Why? There's no laws. Anybody sees one, shoots it. Hey, we got a deer. Why? They tell us, you know, how do you have so many deer up there? You know, deer are dangerous. You can actually drive into them with your car. You can kill yourself with a deer. There's just too many of them. Well, how does that happen? They ask me, how does this happen? How do you have so many deer up there? Well, because they have laws. You can't just shoot them. You only have a certain season, and you have to get a permit, and then you have to tag them, and then you have to do all this stuff, and they'll fine you if they catch you with a deer and you don't have a tag. Same way with fish, whatever. Why do we need laws to know this little bitty old fish, throw it back, let it grow a little bit? But you have to have laws because for some reason we're so stupid, we get the little old fish, we just take it home with us. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? Get a couple bites out of that thing and then no more fish. You know, the Bible talks about the ostrich, that God deprived her of wisdom. It says she lays her eggs in the sand and forgets where she put them and she steps on them. Wow, isn't that descriptive of some people? Forget their own children. Can a mother forget her suckling child? Yes, God says she can. Isn't that amazing? That's hard to believe, isn't it? Is it possible that the most dangerous place in the world is not on an airplane, it's not in Afghanistan, it's not in communist China, it's not in prison, it's not in the bars and the drunk, it's not in the south side, the west side, or my trailer park. The most dangerous place in the world is the mother's womb. It is the most dangerous place for humans in the world. You are a high risk to die. Not by disease, not by undernourishment, not by negligence, but on purpose somebody will kill you if you happen to be in the mother's womb. Is it possible that humans act like beasts? Is it possible that they could kill their own young by negligence, by stupidity, or just simply because they don't want it? They have no natural love for it, no natural affection, no sense of responsibility. I fornicated. I have this baby. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to love it. No, no sense of that. Just whatever's for me. All I'm thinking about is me. They're like a bunch of chickens pecking around in the dirt, looking for worms, never thinking about anything else but themselves. They act like brute beasts. God deprived the ostrich of wisdom. What in the world is the excuse for people today who kill their own children? You're not going to tell me that God deprived you of wisdom. Oh, something's wrong. People as natural, brute, beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And you wonder that you'll receive the reward of your unrighteousness? My goodness. You know, the Bible talks about dogs. They eat the crumbs that fall on the floor. There's almost no animal more disgusting than dogs. I mean, what they smell, what they lick, what they're willing to eat. Good grief. Some of you have them in your home. Some of you sit them on your lap. So I've seen some of you kiss them. Good grief. That has got to be the most disgusting thing. Somebody kiss a dog and then worry about me sharing my toothbrush with somebody. That's horrible. You guys are sick, I'm telling you. What's the difference between you and a dog? You know, a dog likes shade. Like sit in the shade. You ever seen a dog just sit in the shade? Just like you. Dog likes to eat. A dog likes sex. Dog likes to fight. What's the difference between you and a dog? Your life. Compare it. Your life and a dog's life. If you're having trouble finding the difference, you're in trouble. I'm sorry. You're nothing but a brute beast. You live your entire life just what you can eat, smelling around on the ground, seeing what you can find, pick a fight sometimes, fornicate. Go out and have a good time. Do whatever's in your instincts. Do whatever's best for you. No difference between you and a dog. Willing to eat your own vomit. People are like natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. You know something else? People are like natural brute beasts in their religion. Not only in their opinion, not only in their behavior, but even in their religion, they're like natural brute beasts. You know the Bible talks about sheep being led to the slaughter? Bah, just walking along. Bah. I'm going to go right up there, follow that pastor right up to the slaughterhouse, and pop, dead, be sheared, taken care of, and be on somebody's table. You know, so many people are just like that in their religion. Just follow along wherever the crowd's going. Just walk along, just hundreds and hundreds of sheep just walking along, no clue where they're going. No clue where they're going to end up. No clue who that pastor is up there. No clue whether he's for them or against them. No clue whether it's right or wrong, whether it's true or false. Never read to find out. Never investigate. Never ask a question. Just keep your mouth shut. Just go right along. Follow that other person's tail end and just walk right on up to the slaughterhouse and let them chop your head off. You know, people are just exactly like that in their religion. How many people do you know that have never asked a question whether it's right or wrong? Whether it's true or false? Do you know how many people will just follow their religion because of the pure convenience of it? Who cares whether it's true or not? Who cares whether math is true or not? Who cares whether the Watchtower magazine is true or not? They don't even ask. Just because my parents told me this, we're just going to go on along. We're just going to follow along. We're not going to read the Bible. We're not going to ask a question. We're not going to rock the boat. We're not going to stir up trouble. We don't want to cause too much. We don't want to ask too many questions. Just go crazy for nothing. And so they're just like sheep being led right along to the slaughterhouse. Someday they're going to wind up in that slaughterhouse never having asked the question, is it true? Am I going the right way? Where is this road going to end up? What's at the end of this path I'm going down? I can't see far enough ahead to know where they're going. I don't know what happened last year. I don't know who these people are up there that are leading me. I've never asked the question. Some people choose a church on just that stupid idea. You know, whether or not they've got loudspeakers, or whether or not they've got flowers in the auditorium, or whether the pew is comfortable. That's how they choose a church. It makes you wonder why they bother.
Yeah.
I mean, you got an easy chair at home, a whole lot more comfortable. You can put flowers in your own home. Why bother? If it's not true, or if you don't care whether it's true or not, why bother? You can't just choose a religion on the basis of nonsense like that. You have to know whether it's true or not.
Amen.
Do you just do what somebody, just because your religion or your parents showed you how to do this, and you've done that all along, and you don't ever ask the question, you don't know whether it's true or not, you've never read your Bible to find out what God's opinion about that is. Your parents say, you go up to that man, you bow down, you kiss his finger, and you tell him your sin. And so you just go, you bow down, you kiss his finger, you say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned, and you make up something because you couldn't remember your real sins. And he says, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and blah, 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 and you're done. And then you're just going to do that the rest of your life, and you're never going to ask a question. Well, where does the Bible tell me to do that? Did Paul do that? Did Luke do that? Did Timothy do that? Did Peter do that? Did Jesus tell us anything about that? Well, now don't you worry about that. That's what we worry about, and you worry about your stuff, we'll worry about our stuff. Really? You're just going to follow them along until you fall off the cliff. You're like a bunch of pigs filled with the devil, and you're going to just run right along with the whole crowd and walk right off the cliff and drown. The Bible talks about the wild ass, the wild donkey, that regardeth not the crying of the driver. Can't be taught. Can't be corrected. Can't be turned. So stubborn that even when somebody comes and shows you that you're wrong, you won't turn. You won't change. Somebody can show you with hard evidence, this is not true. You don't pray to dead saints. You don't pray to the Virgin. The Bible says so. The Bible says there's no other mediator between God and men.
Amen.
Just the man Christ Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Under heaven.
Right.
Just the one name, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
but you won't believe it. They show it to you, but you won't believe it. The Bible says you're not supposed to bow down to any graven image or any kind of image. You're not supposed to pray to these things or honor them. You're not supposed to carry them around and kiss them and deck them with gold and silver. The Bible says. But you don't care. You've heard it. Somebody's read it to you. Somebody's preached it to you. But you don't care. You're like that wild donkey that can't be turned. Just runs wherever they want. Nobody's going to turn me. I don't care what the Bible says. Nobody's going to turn me. I'm going to die this religion. My religion is mine. I'm going to die this way. I don't care whether it's true or not. What if Jesus Christ Himself told you you were wrong? I don't even care about that. What about if you saw it in your own Bible? I don't even care about that. What about if you found out that what you've been doing all along is just a lie that's been a lie for 1,000 years? And you can be proven, shown, absolute knowledge that it's wrong. It's a lie. It didn't happen that way. Somebody fooled you. And somebody fooled your parents. And somebody fooled your grandparents. What if you can be shown that not only are you wrong and that they fooled you and that this is a dangerous, dangerous thing, what if you can be shown that they're getting rich because of it? They're fleecing you. They're taking you for making merchandise of you. Taking you for every dime you've got. What if you can be shown that those nine masses they say for the people that are dead, that all they are is getting money from poor widows? Like Jesus said, devouring widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. What if you actually saw that it was true? What if you found out that priests try to seduce your daughters? Or nowadays, seduce your sons. What if you can be proven, shown that they're doing that? That they ask questions in order to excite your daughters sexually? If you could be shown that, would that make a difference? Nope. It's like a wild donkey. Cannot be turned. Cannot be taught. Regardeth not the crying of the driver. Absolutely not. Put their nose to the wind and just go with it. They smell grass somewhere, they're going to run off. Never change. Unwilling to be taught. What if you come to my house with your little Watchtower magazine and you say, well, this Bible, I mean, this says right here. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says this over here. Well, you know, we're not really sure about... Well, wait a minute. You don't believe the Bible? Well, yeah, I believe the Bible. Does it have errors? Well, maybe a few. Well, does your Watchtower magazine have any errors? Well, no. It doesn't have any errors. Are you kidding me? Somebody come to my house and say, I'm going to study the Bible with you. Oh, really? Have you read it? Well, no, I haven't read it yet. Well, okay. I've read it. You want me to teach you? Well, no. We have our religion. Are you kidding me? You mean somebody who's read the Bible can't teach you? Who never read it? They can't teach you. You can't be taught. You can't learn. My goodness, I can learn. If you've never finished the Bible, but you got something to show me, I can learn. I've got no reason not to learn from you. But telling me somebody who actually knows the truth can't teach you? You're like that wild donkey. You know, some people, the Bible talks about people who are like the sow that was washed. You know, every Sunday, they put on their Sunday best, bow tie, shoes, and they go to church and they sit just like the sow that was washed. Just like a pig that's been cleaned up for market or for the pig show, the livestock show. Got a nice pretty bow on there, go to market, go to the pig show, the rodeo. Everybody says, oh, what a beautiful pig. And then they take it back out there, and the first thing it does, it goes right out to the mire and starts wallowing in the mire. Do you know how many people are just exactly like that? They'll show up for church all dressed up. They've got their tie on. They'll be all pretty and nice. And they walk out the door, and their mouths are filthy. Or they go right out and watch a filthy movie. Or they go right out and do the same old wicked things they've done all their life. And church is just them a chance to dress up. And that's the only reason they go. No other possibility. Are they worshiping God? Are they seeking His will? Are they willing to change? Do they open up their heart and say, God, change me. I don't want to walk out the same person I was. No. They walk in, dressed up, just like the sow that was washed. And they walk out the same old sow.
That's right.
Same old person. Just can't wait to get back to the mud. People are like brute beasts. And they're not ashamed of it. And all we try to do is make us ashamed of it. I know we're all like that. We're like that. This is our nature. Somehow we have so corrupted ourselves that we do things like we're animals. We look like animals. We seem like animals. The problem is that they're not ashamed. Let me tell you something. The difference between us and brute beasts is God. It's the only difference. We can know Him. We can worship Him. We can love Him. We can fellowship with Him. We can talk to Him. We can praise Him. We can know His will. We can love His will. We can choose to follow. We can be ashamed of our sin. We can cry out to God and say, "Help me, Lord." We are different than animals. But you've got to recognize God to be different than an animal. Otherwise, you're nothing but a brute beast. Nothing but an animal. Nothing but a hog. Nothing but a dog. Nothing but a snail or a jackrabbit. Nothing but an ostrich. Nothing but just an animal in your behavior, in your opinion, in your even your religion. You're nothing like a human ought to be. You need to get a hold of God and be the person that God made you to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. With this, I'm going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man." You know something? The Bible says there is a natural man and there is a spiritual man. And that the natural man, just like this brute beast, cannot understand the things of God. Yet you are not just a natural man. You have the ability to know God and to know His will and to worship Him and to walk in His presence. You have the ability to pray to Him and to become right with Him through Jesus Christ. You can actually have a relationship with Him. You can actually be saved and absolutely on the right with Him. Have all of your sins forgiven. Become a child of His so that He actually takes care of you like a good father does. This is the ability of every man that was ever born. They can repent of their sins. They can come to God and say, "Lord, make me like You wanted me to be. Change me. I want Your will. I want to worship You. I want to serve You." You know what we need? We need people who are willing to repent of their sins and have a life-changing encounter with God. Say, "God, save my soul. Change my life. Make me the way You want me to be. I don't want to be an animal made to be taken and destroyed. I want to be like You in Your image and walk with You forever. I want to serve You. I want to worship You." God is our only purpose. God is our only ambition. God is our only love, our only desire, the only thing worth living for, our only treasure. God is all and in all. He is everything there is. And if you're not serving Him and worshiping Him and repenting of your sins before Him and asking Him to save you, then you are nothing more than an animal in this life. And you will be taken and destroyed. You will be judged according to your unrighteousness. This is the time to give yourself to Jesus Christ and become the man that He called you to be.
Amen. This altar is open. If you're here and the Lord's touched your heart, my Christian friend, you want to do something, you need to do business with God, you need to get something straight or right, this altar's open. If you're here without Christ, and you know the Spirit's touched your heart, you need to be saved, would you come and take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let's sing that first verse.
Amen.